now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Did you get a federal tax cut or not? A survey conducted in early April on behalf of the New York Times determined that just 40% of Americans believe that they received a tax cut under the new federal tax law passed in late 2017. Only 20% were certain that their tax obligations had indeed declined. That's consistent with previous polls finding that most Americans believe they didn't get a tax cut, and the large majority actually felt that their federal taxes had been increased. There are obvious political repercussions involved, including those relating to next year's presidential election. But there are economic considerations as well. If one believes that their tax liabilities have risen, and many do, consumer spending is less likely to receive much of a boost. These beliefs persist despite the fact that many analysts have concluded that most Americans, in fact, received a tax cut. The Tax Policy Center estimates that 65% of people paid less under the new law and just 6% paid more. The rest experienced little change. The Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, a left-leaning think tank, found that every income group in every state would pay less on average under the new law this year. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. American women of working age are more educated than ever. But as indicated by writer Claire Kane Miller, it is precisely the most educated women who often encounter the largest gender gaps in terms of seniority and pay. These women represent only 5% of big company chief executives and a quarter of the top 10% of earners in America. There are many factors resulting in pay and seniority gaps, including discrimination and a lack of family-friendly policies. But a growing body of evidence has led economists and sociologists to conclude that there is at least one other major driver, one that facially appears to have little to do with gender. That factor is a return to working long, inflexible hours in America. Social scientists have identified a set of greedy professions, those that reward long hours in the office. Among these professions are finance, law, and consulting. The reward for working long hours is so powerful in these and similarly situated professions, researchers concluded that it has canceled out the effect of women's educational gains. This is not so much about educated women opting out of work. It's more about the notion that the nature of work has changed in ways that push couples who have equal career potential to take on unequal roles. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. 4 decades ago, people who worked at least 50 hours a week were paid 15% less on an hourly basis than those who work in accordance with more traditional full-time schedules. Essentially, these people were working long hours because their hourly pay was lower than most people's. Today, the situation is far different. People who work 50 hours or more per week earn up to 8% more per hour than similarly situated people who work closer to 40 hours per week, according to a recently released paper using current population survey data. Sociologist Lewis Koser coined the term greedy professions in 1974 to describe institutions that seek exclusive and undivided loyalty. Over time, these professions have placed more demands on worker time, in part because they can. As indicated by writer Claire Kane Miller, information technology allows managers to send emails on weekends, often requiring an immediate response. These technologies also allow workers to do more remotely, including from home. Business has also become more global, resulting in more people working across time zones. Ultimately, the chase to become a partner in a law, consulting, or financial services firm is resulting in many people working incredible hours. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. As many listeners know, climate change is significantly impacting economic growth around the world. As it turns out, the most deleterious impacts are experienced in poorer nations. As indicated by CNN Business, two Stanford University researchers modeled country-by-country effects of global warming over a 50-year period. they published their findings in a paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The study concludes that nations with the warmest climates suffer the most economic damage. Take India as an example. The research indicates that India's gross domestic product per capita was 31% lower in 2010 than it would have been if not for global warming caused by humans over the past half century. Chad's economic activity per person was 39% lower, Venezuela's was 32% lower, and Nigeria's was 29% lower. There are many ways in which warmer temperatures can suppress economic activity, including by drying out farmland, decreasing worker productivity, and increasing interpersonal conflict. As an example, in Costa Rica, coffee farmers have experienced lower yields and more frequent disease outbreaks due to higher temperatures. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Were it a nation, California would be among the world's most potent. That state is home to an eighth of America's population, which means that it is a third the size of Japan, half of Germany, and not quite two-thirds of the United Kingdom. But as indicated by writer Matthew Winkler, its economic strength looms larger than any of them. Just about every measure of economic growth indicates that California has no peer among developed economies in terms of expanding population, rising output, declining unemployment, growing personal income, investment, innovation, and wealth generation. Over a recent five-year period, California's economic growth averaged 3%. That's nearly one full percentage point faster than the balance of America. Thanks in part to that rapid growth, if California were a nation, it would now have the fifth largest economy on the planet. The state produces approximately $3 trillion in economic output per annum, recently surpassing the United Kingdom. California's economy is also larger than those of France, India, Italy, and Brazil. California's population has increased nearly 20% over the past 20 years, the most among the world's five largest economies, including the balance of the United States. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.